Upon the night of March 17, 1871, there was a series of events in France, and a series in England. A meteor was seen at Tours, at 8 p.m. at 10:45, a meteor that left a luminous cloud over Saints, Carentin-Ferrure, another at Paris, 11:15, leaving a mark in the sky, of 15 minutes duration, another at Tours, at 11:45 p.m. Célémons, 24-190, and Comtes Rendus, 72-789. There were earthquakes this night affecting virtually all England north of the Mersey and the Trent, and also southern parts of Scotland. As has often been the case, the phenomena were thought to have been explosions and were then said to have been earthquakes when no terrestrial explosions could be heard of. Simons Met. Mag. 6-39. There were 6 shocks near Manchester, between 6 and 7 p.m., and others about 11 p.m., and in Lancashire about 11 p.m., and continuing in places as far apart as Liverpool and Newcastle, until 11:30 o'clock. The shocks felt about 11 o'clock correspond, in time, with the luminous phenomena in the sky of France, but our way of expressing that these so-called earthquakes in England may have been concussions from repeating explosions in the sky, is to record that, according to correspondence in the London Times, there were, upon the 20th, aerial phenomena in the region of Lancashire that had been affected upon the 17th sounds that seemed to come from a number of guns at a distance and pale flashes of lightning in the sky. Whether these series of phenomena be relatable to Mars or Martians or not, we note that in 1871 opposition of Mars was upon March 19th, and, in 1869, upon February 13th, and in 1867 2 days after the explosions at Fort Klamath. In our records in this book, similar coincidences can be found up to the year 1879. I have other such records not here published, and others that will be here investigated. There is a triangular region in England, 3 points of which appear so often in our data that the region should be specially known to us, and I know it myself as the London Triangle. It is pointed in the north by Worcester and Hereford, in the south by Reading, Berkshire, and in the east by Colchester, Essex. The line between Colchester and Reading runs through London. Upon February 18, 1884, at West Mersey, near Colchester, a loud report was heard, Nature, 53-4. Upon the 22nd of April, 1884, centering around Colchester, occurred the severest earthquake in England in the 19th century. For several columns of description, see the London Times, April 23. There is a long list of towns in which there was great damage, in 24 parishes near Colchester, 1,250 buildings were damaged. One of the places that suffered most was West Mersey, Daily Chronicle, April 28. There was something in the sky. According to G.P. Yates, observations upon the earthquake of December 17, 1896, p. 6, there was a red appearance in the sky over Colchester, at the time of the shock of April 22, 1884. The next day, according to a writer in Knowledge, 5-336, a stone fell from the sky, breaking glass in his greenhouse, in Essex. It was a quartz stone, and unlike anything usually known as meteoritic. The indications, according to my reading of the data, and my impressions of such repeating occurrences as those at Fort Klamath, are that perhaps an explosion occurred in the sky, near Colchester, upon February 18, 1884, that a great explosion did occur over Colchester, upon the 22nd of April, and that a great volume of debris spread over England, in a northwesterly direction, passing over Worcestershire and Shropshire, and continuing on toward Liverpool, nucleating moisture and falling in blackest of rain. From the Stonyhurst Observatory, near Liverpool, was reported, occurring at 11 a.m., April 26, the most extraordinary darkness remembered. 40 minutes later fell rain as black as ink, and then black snow and black hail, Nature, 30-6. Black hail fell at Chagley, several miles from Liverpool, Stonyhurst Magazine, 1-267. 5 hours later, black substance fell at Crowell, near Worcester, Nature, 30-32. Upon the 28th, at Church Stretton and Much Wenlock, Shropshire, fell torrents of liquid like ink and water in equal proportions, The Field, May 3, 1884. In the Jour. Roy. Med. Soc. 11-7, it is said that, upon the 28th, half a mile from Leal-Shall, Shropshire, an unknown pink substance was brought down by a storm. Upon the 3rd of May, black substance fell again at Crowell, Nature. 30-32. In Nature, 30-216, a correspondent writes that, upon June 22, 1884, at Fletching, Sussex, southwest of Colchester, there was intense darkness, and that rain then brought down flakes of soot in such abundance that it seemed to be snowing black. This was several months after the shock at Colchester, but my datum for thinking that another explosion, or disturbance of some kind, had occurred in the same local sky, is that, as reported by the inmates of one house, a slight shock was felt, upon the 24th of June, at Colchester, showing that the phenomena were continuing. See Roper's list of earthquakes. Was not the loud report heard upon February 18th probably an explosion in the sky, inasmuch as the sound was great and the quake little? Were not succeeding phenomena sounds and concussions and the fall of debris from explosions in the sky, acceptably upon April 22nd, and perhaps continuing until the 24th of June? Then what are the circumstances by which one small part of this Earth's surface could continue in relation with something somewhere else in space? Comrie, Irkutsk, and Birmingham. 23. Upon the night of the 13th of July, 1875, at midnight, two officers of HMS Coronation, in the Gulf of Siam, saw a luminous projection from the moon's upper limb, Nature, 12-495. Upon the 14th it was gone, but a smaller projection was seen from another part of the moon's limb. This was in the period of the opposition of Mars. Upon the night of February 20, 1877, M. Trevellet, of the observatory of Mudden, saw, in the lunar crater Eudacus, which, like almost all other centers of seeming signaling, is in the northwestern quadrant of the moon, a fine line of light, L. Astronomy, 1885-212. It was like a luminous cable drawn across the crater. March 21, 1877, a brilliant illumination, and not by the light of the sun, according to C. Barrett, in the lunar crater Proclus, E.N.G. Mech, 25-89. May 15 and 29, 1877, the bright spot west of Picard, E.N.G. Mech, 25-335. The changes upon Lynn were first seen by Schmidt, in 1866, near the time of opposition of Mars. In May, 1877, Dr. Klein announced that a new object had appeared upon the moon. It was close to the center of the visible disk of the moon, and was in a region that had been most carefully studied by the selenographers. In the observatory, 2-238, is Neison's report from his own memoranda. In the years 1874 and 1875, he had studied this part of the moon, but had not seen this newly reported object in the crater Hyginus, or the object, Hyginus N, according to the selenographer's terminology. In the Astronomical Register, 17-204, Neison lists, with details, 20-minute examinations of this region, from July 1870, to August 1875, in which this conspicuous object was not recorded. June 14, 1877, a light on the dark part of the moon, resembling a reflection from a moving mirror, reported by Professor Henry Harrison, Side Real Messenger, 3-150. June 15, the bright spot west of Picard, according to Bird, Jour BAA, 1919-376. Upon the 16th, Professor Harrison thought that again he saw the moving light of the 14th, but shining faintly. In The English Mechanic, 25-432, Frank Dennett writes, "As to an observation of June 17, 1877, I fancied I could detect a minute point of light shining out of the darkness that filled Bessel. These are data of extraordinary activity upon the moon preceding the climacteric opposition of Mars, early in September, 1877. Now we have an account of an occurrence during an eclipse of the moon. On the night of the eclipse, August 27, 1877, a ball of fire, of the apparent size of the moon, was seen, at 10 minutes to 11, dropping apparently from cloud to cloud, and the light flashing across the road, Astro. Reg. 1878-75. Astro. Reg. 17-251. November 13, 1877 Hyginus N standing out with such prominence as to be seen at the first glance. November 14, 1877 Not a trace of Hyginus N, though seeing was excellent. October 3, 1878 The most conspicuous of all appearances of Hyginus N. October 4, 1878 Not a trace of Hyginus N. Upon the night of November 1, 1879, again in the period of opposition of Mars, opposition November 12, again the bright spot west of Picard, Jour BAA, 19-376. But I have several records of observations upon this appearance not in times of opposition of Mars. Whether there be any relation with anything else or not, at 5 o'clock, morning of November 1, 1879, a vivid flash was seen and a shock was felt at West Cumberland, Nature, 21-19. In the autumn of the year 1883, began extraordinary atmospheric effects in the sky of this earth. For Professor John Haywood's description of similar appearances upon the Moon, November 4, 1883, and March 29, 1884, see the sidereal messenger, 3-121. They were misty light effects upon the dark part of the Moon, not like Earthshine. Our expression is that so close is the Moon to this Earth that it, too, may be affected by phenomena in the atmosphere of this Earth. Something like another luminous cable, or like a shining wall, that was seen in Aristarchus, by Trevelot, January 23, 1880, L. Astro, 1885-215, a speck of light in Marius, January 13, 1881, by A. S. Williams, E. N. G. Mech, 32-494, unexplained light in Eudacus, by Trevelot, May 4, 1881, L. Astro, 1885-213, an illumination in Kepler, by Morales, February 5, 1884, L. Astro, 9-149. In Knowledge, 7-224, William Gray writes that, upon February 19, 1885, he saw, in Hercules, a dull, deep, reddish appearance. In L. Astronomy, 1885-227, Lorenzo Crop, an astronomer of Paysandú, Uruguay, writes that, upon February 21, 1885, he had seen, in Cassini, a formation not far from Hercules, both of them in the northwestern quadrant of the Moon, a reddish smoke or mist. He had heard that several other persons had seen, not a misty appearance, but a star-like light here, and upon the 22nd he had seen a definite light, himself, shining like the planet Saturn.